another box car. This is America Weekend. I am Paul Harris with some chimpanzee stuff in the news this week. There were three lawsuits that were filed last week that attempted to achieve legal personhood for four chimpanzees living in New York, but they were struck down in each of the courts, even though there were petitions filed with the court. The judges in each case said, no, these are animals. These are not persons. We're not going to grant them personhood. The suits were filed by the Non-Human Rights Project, which says they are going to appeal the decisions. They're going to take this to appellate courts. The reason they're doing this is they are asking judges to recognize for the first time that these cognitively complex, autonomous beings have the basic legal right to not be imprisoned, unquote. One of the lawsuits was about a chimpanzee by name of Tommy, who's owned by a guy named Pat Levery in Gloversville, New York, who keeps Tommy in a cage on a trailer lot in his backyard. And he says, look, I'd be happy to show you Tommy's home. I will show you how well this chimpanzee is cared for. But for the activists, that's not enough. The fact that he is owned by a human being and put in a cage, that's too much. Not only do they want to get these chimpanzees free, but they also are working on behalf of captive animals who they say are scientifically proven to be self-aware and autonomous. Elephants, dolphins, whales would fit into that category. Here to talk about this story is Lori Gruen, who's a philosophy professor at Wesleyan University who thinks and writes often about non-human animals and the moral and philosophical issues involved in how we treat them, who also wrote an essay earlier this year on the ethical responsibility of scientists who study and work with the great apes in Africa. Lori, welcome to America Weekend.
Well, thanks for having me.
What was your reaction to the court denying these habeas corpus petitions?
I don't think it's surprising. What the Non-Human Animal Rights Project is trying to do is really quite unique. And so it's not surprising that the court decided not to hear the case. Unfortunately, the court system is set up in such a way that there's just two categories. An individual is either person or property. And because of that setup, and because of chimpanzees are much more like persons than they are property, the Non-Human Rights Project is trying to make that claim in court.
Are you suggesting that there should be a third category?
Well, perhaps. I mean, legally, you know, the law is a complicated system, and I'm a philosopher, not a lawyer, so it's not clear to me that's the right way to go. But given that there are only these two categories, it does make a fair amount of sense to put chimpanzees in the category of person. Now, it's important to notice this is not the same as saying that they're human beings, because both legally and philosophically, there's a distinction to be made between human beings and persons. There can be human persons and also human non-persons. And the arguments of many years, both legal and ethical, have been there are some non-human persons, as well as, of course, non-human non-persons. To be a person is to have a conception of oneself as existing over time. That is to have an awareness of a past and a future that's yours. And the studies of chimpanzees and other great apes and other animals suggest that they do have an awareness of themselves as existing over time. They have interests, they have desires, and not mere property. And so given that the structure of the law is set up so that there are only these two categories, the argument before the courts was not crazy.
All right. There are several parts of what you just said that I want to go back to. But let's start with that last part, which is they have a knowledge of past, present, and future. Does that mean that a squirrel that gathers nuts but doesn't eat them and keeps them for the long cold winter ahead, that animal is planning for the future and therefore achieves personhood?
That is a really great question. I don't know much about squirrels' behavior. I do know there's been studies of jays, corvids, suggest that they do have, there's been sort of scientific studies to show that they do have an awareness of themselves and others, and they hide their cache, their food for the future, and they do it in different ways depending on who's watching. So that's a sign of self-awareness, and it's also an awareness of temporality existing over time. And it may sound very peculiar to think of birds as persons, but if the definition of a person is an individual who has a sense of themselves as having a past, present, and future, then that would apply.
Well, couldn't we just call that an intelligent animal as opposed to a person?
Yes, actually. The concept of personhood is sort of a rich concept, and you could just call that an intelligent non-human animal, of course.
Because if we were to grant personhood to these chimpanzees, dolphins, whales, elephants, etc., is there a slippery slope towards telling people you can't have a dog or a cat as a pet in your home because that animal deserves the right to be able to do whatever they want?
Okay, so I think you're raising a really important point, and I think this is a point that's getting missed in the discussion about chimpanzees. Chimpanzees are actually dangerous wild animals. They're very smart and they're cognitively sophisticated, but they're still wild animals. And one of the dangers of having them in the category of property is that it makes it so that some people think it's okay to own a chimpanzee. And in Connecticut, where I live, we've seen just how dangerous owning chimpanzees as your pet can be. And so one of the things that I think is important to consider in the case of chimpanzees is that they are not very safe or appropriate pets, A. And B, even if we are having them in sort of private ownership, having a single chimpanzee is not very good for chimpanzees. They're highly social animals, and they do not do well when they're not with other chimpanzees. So there are two reasons, I think, for thinking that it's a bad idea to think of chimpanzees as property. Add that to the fact that they are highly cognitively complex and that the law has only two categories, property and person, it does make sense, in the case of chimpanzees, to think of them as persons.
Couldn't everything you just said also apply to a pit bull?
I actually don't agree with that about pit bulls. There's a lot of controversy about pit bulls. And in many cases, it's more the conditions in which the dogs are kept that creates their aggressiveness. All dogs are domestic animals. Chimpanzees are wild animals, and there is a distinction between domestic animals and wild animals. We can have domestic animals that are maladaptive, that are mean or cruel because they're treated poorly, but wild animals remain wild animals. No amount of training can train the wildness out of the chimpanzee.
What about some chimps that are being used for scientific research?
There are chimps that are in scientific research, although thankfully the government has decided that that should be ending very soon. And so there were two reports last year to start to wind down chimpanzee experimentation and to put chimpanzees into sanctuaries where they can spend the rest of their lives with other chimpanzees in quote-unquote relative freedom, complete freedom.
How widespread is individual ownership of chimpanzees in this country?
It's on the decline. There's been a number of private owners who have released their chimpanzees to sanctuaries and zoos, and that's a project that many people in the primatological world and dealing with captive chimpanzees are trying to address. There's probably a couple of hundred chimpanzees that are still in private ownership, and that's something that isn't safe for the communities where the chimpanzees live, and it's not good for the chimpanzees.
But wait a second. If you grant them personhood, could a zoo keep a chimpanzee?
Well, this is one of the controversies. The idea here is that the habeas corpus legal case is to provide them with the best captive conditions that they can have. And that can sometimes, in my opinion, although not in the opinion of others, in my opinion, that can be in a zoo setting, an accredited zoo setting.
So it's okay if they're there because they would have more wide open space and they could frolic around more?
Right. They have choices about what other chimpanzees to spend time with. They're always in a group. The American Zoological and Aquarium Association has suggested that you should not have chimpanzees in a group of less than seven, and they have very specific space requirements and social and psychological enrichment requirements for chimpanzees in accredited zoos as well as in sanctuaries.
Well, I know there are going to be appeals of these lawsuits and probably more to come, so we'll have to revisit this issue. Thanks so much for joining me here today, Lori.
It was nice to talk to you.
Lori Gruen from Wesleyan University joining me here on America Weekend.
Paul Harris, America Weekend.